What's going on? We're back again. This is the mid-season review. So we all know that, you know, more than half of the season has started. And before we even go into that, I want to say what's up to my man, Lasha. How you doing, brother?
What's up, man? I can't believe we're already halfway through the season. It's going by fast.
More than half. Because, you know, it's kind of weird because you have to understand there's less than, like, I think there's 68 games left in the season. So it's like more than half, you know, because the half mark is 81 games. And it's funny how, you know, the All-Star game is today. The home run derby was last night. We're going to talk about all that good stuff. And we have like 67 games, depending on the teams, you know, because you know how the schedules are weird and different for each team. They get days off, they get rest. Stuff. But yeah, we're more than halfway done with the season. We have two more good months of baseball prior to the postseason. And things are getting hot out there. There's a lot of, you know, interesting things happening in the league division-wise. And we're going to be talking about what we think, you know, and our predictions on every single division. This is going to be one of the longer podcasts for us because, you know, it's a mid-season review, and we're going to be talking about who we think is going to continue to do well, who we think is going to fall off, and we're going to compare stats, you know, 2022, 2023. We're going to, you know, look at how these teams are developing and who's trying to hold the crowns in the division, and it's going to be fun, you know? It might be tedious for people who hate baseball, but those, guess what? Those people aren't listening to the show, right? Because that's how it works. But, you know, like I said, we're closing in on the first half of the season, and the usual suspects are leading the divisions with some minor changes here and there, right? So let's start off with the AL East, right? So the Yankees is shot right out of the gate, right? While their little brother this year, Baltimore fought hard and stayed right behind the Yankees, right? And then the Yankees came in and lost multiple series in June. And Baltimore, you know, the little brother in the division this year, due to all the acquisitions that the Yankees made over the offseason, it's funny because, you know, Baltimore's holding down the fort right now. They were the winners of the division last year, right? And I personally think that Baltimore has a lot to prove, and they are the guys that are going to take the division and go in hard in the postseason. I don't think that it's the Yankees' division to lose. I think it's Baltimore's division to lose, you know? Like I said, this is going to be their second year, you know, they're defending the division. And I think they're going to win by at least 5 games. What are your thoughts, Lash?
Yeah, it's interesting. They kind of are struggling to get to the halfway mark. But they lost 2 out of 3 to New York. I think that Baltimore has a lot of flaws. They lost their 3 starting pitchers. And their bullpen is horrible. They have no closer. Corbin Burns almost, he did blow the game against the Yankees in the last game of the series. But thanks to the Yankees' mishaps, they had more mishaps than we did, and we ended up salvaging the series, so we only took 1 out of 2, but which put us back in first place. But I'm not impressed. I have a lot of work to do. They need starting pitching more and also bullpen help. As you know, as a Mets fan, losing Diaz last year, how much of a burden that was and taxing was on your bullpen, because if you have someone that's replacing them and is nowhere near as good as your closer, every game is a battle, and every ninth inning is you holding your breath, because Craig Kimbrel near the end of his career is known for blowing games. He was notorious for doing that in Philadelphia. Not so much in Boston, but in Philadelphia. And Baltimore signed for 1 year, so it's not the end of the world. But it is the end of the world, because in the playoffs, a blown save is a lost game in a 3-game series in the wild card. Or in a, you know, in a 7-game series, you know, that's one less win you have. And in the playoffs, you can't afford to just give up games because your closer is not on point. So, in my opinion, they need to get a closer. I don't know who else that would be. But as far as the Yankees go, I think the Yankees' problem is the guy they had, Luis Gil, he was lights out for a while. The bullpen, their starting pitching was staying afloat. And then he managed to hit a rut, and all of a sudden he's struggling. And then I kind of think they rushed Gerrit Cole up. He's been struggling. He had a good game against Baltimore in his last outing. He won the game, but that was on Friday. But he's been struggling, so I wonder if they rushed him up to instead of leaving him in the minors to get his things right. But who knows? It's going to come down to the Yankees and Baltimore, and I think they play again each other sometime in September. It's going to come down to that series, whoever wins that division. So Baltimore has a lot of work to do. Yankees have a lot of work to do. It could go either way. I just still think the Yankees are a better team. They just have better hitters. Only problem is with the Yankees is they're not producing hits. The only guys that's producing hits is Juan Soto and Judge. Everybody else is not producing. And another thing with the Yankees and something that the Baltimore can do is, it's funny, the Yankees are good at hitting home runs. Baltimore's good at putting pressure on the bases, stealing bases. That's something the Yankees are not good at. So,
real baseball? That's real baseball, Asha. So, like,
where we at all. Small ball.
Right, small ball, exactly. That's what we call it out here. We call it small ball. Baltimore is a run-producing machine. They know how to get men on base. They know how to produce by stealing and doing all these other things. I think their pitching is way better. I think that the Yankees fell apart, right? They're not hitting. The pitching is horrible. I agree with you when it comes to, Cole coming in too early, even though he was out for so long, and he's unable to really do what he was able to do last year. I mean, he was a Cy Young winner, right? So, listen, I think that it's your division to lose. There's no way in hell you guys are going to lose that division. I think you're a better ball club. You show it day in, day out. Like you say, you're not going to win every game, but you are going to win series. And I think that the Yankees are running out of gas, and they're not going to be able to maintain what they have going. And if you guys keep playing the way you do, you will definitely win the division by 5 games. I mean, I understand. Listen, you're a Baltimore fan, and, you're watching these games day in, day out, and, look at it from a different perspective. But I believe Baltimore has it. They're going to hold on to that division title. They won it last year. And there have been drastic changes from 2022 to 2023, Baltimore was, the Yankees won the division in 2022. And Baltimore happened to place in fourth, all right? And then the huge transition from 22 to 23 shows you that they were building a ball club. The Yankees, didn't do so well in 2023. And the problem with the Yankees is they try to, win a championship on the fly, all right? The Yankees placed fourth last year, and now they're trying to compete with the Orioles, who have built a serious foundation and have amazing players. Right, you may say that they're not household names, but in my eyes, they are. When you're able to win 101 games last year compared to the Yankees 82, we're asking a lot from the Yankees. You have to understand that, okay? You have to understand that, they spent the money, or they didn't really spend the money. They traded for Juan Soto. So this is that one year where they're going to try to, make it into the playoffs and try to run with it. But after next year, they're not going to have one sort of. If they don't win this year, even if they do win, I don't think so. But even if they do, they're not going to sign Juan Soto again. They're not going to do it. They want to win a championship, and then they're going to try to rebuild all over again. You guys are already there. And once you win that first championship, you guys are going to be a serious contender, and you guys are not going to let go. You're going to get a taste of it, and you guys are going to continue to win. So that American League, in my opinion, is locked in. That's your league. It's your division, and anything that happens in the postseason is going to have to run through Baltimore. That's just my personal opinion. Tell me what you think about what I just said.
Yeah, like I said, I watch, like I said, Most people have when they watch their team, they have their fanboy fanatics view of it. They just think their team is great and they don't need to fix anything. But I try to look at everything realistically. You know, I watch a lot of games.
You do.
And so I have a better inside look at the team better than the outsiders like you. But I think they'll definitely get another starter for sure, and they'll probably get some bullpen help. If they do that, then I think they'll be fine. Like I said, will they make the playoffs? Yes. The question is, will they win the division again? I don't know. I think Yankees have improved drastically compared to last year. Yeah, they've hit a little rut in the road. So has Baltimore. So it'll be interesting to see how the second half goes. You know, Yankees are going to be making moves too because, you know, they have Juan Soto, and it's not guaranteed that he's going to come back next year. And they need starting pitching because Minor saw Gerrit Cole and Luis Gil. Nestor Cortez has been okay. Who else, you know, do they have enough pitching to get him over? They have the offense. The problem with the Yankees is they haven't been producing. The guys that you want to produce, the bottom of their lineup has not produced. You know, it's the big guys always producing. But, you know, other than that, they don't have production from the guys they're expecting, like the Volpes of the world, the Verdugos, the late DJ LeMahieu. He's been horrible since he got back from his injuries. And then their closer, he kind of been struggling a little bit. But I'm not worried about the Yankees. But Baltimore, they know what they got to change. They know what they need to add. They got the prospects. They got the players. The thing is whatever they add, are they adding because they think they can win the World Series this year? Or are they going to try to grab pitchers that they have at least 2 to 3 years of controllability? Because if you're going to give up all those top-tier prospects or second-tier prospects, you better make sure that you're going to re-sign those guys. So if you bring in another pitcher, I think they're going to try to go with another pitcher that they have years of controllability because then the trade is worth it. But if you get a guy that's one and done and he's a free agent, like Corbin Burns, perfect example, I really don't know if they're going to re-sign him. I don't know if he wants to come back to Baltimore. Who knows? We do have new ownership, so who knows? But anyway, we'll be interesting what happens. But with that being said, I definitely would like to move on to the AL Central, which is led by your Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah, the Guardians are hot right now.
They have a four-game lead against the Minnesota Twins. It's funny, in the last 10 games, Cleveland is 4-6, and Minnesota has been 6-4. And because of that, Minnesota has been a little bit hotter, and that's why they're only four games behind the Indians. But I think that's the Indians' division to lose, man. They're the most surprising team, in my opinion, because they lost their manager, Terry Francona. They have a brand-new manager. They don't have a lot of big household names, you know, other than Andres Jimenez. You know, I can't even think. They still have Shane Bieber and some other guys. They have Jose Ramirez, so that's their other big guy name. But other than that, it's like, you know, a bunch of house, not big names they know of. And they're a tough, gritty team. They play small ball. They're not home run. They steal bases. They put pressure on the opposing pitching. And their pitching is doing well. And the bullpen is good. So, I don't trust Minnesota. Every time they make the playoffs, they always poop the bed or they blow the lead. Last year, they lost to Toronto, I believe. And then every time they manage to face the Yankees, they get slapped around. So, it doesn't matter who wins that division, but if Minnesota wins the division, they're not going to go far. If Cleveland wins the division, they do pretty well in the postseason. So
yeah.
I like Cleveland a lot in the NL Central. What's your thoughts?
You know what's funny? The first thing I want to say is that you call them the Indians, which is great because I don't even understand why they did that, all right? And not at the Guardians, right? And in 2022, they were able to win the division by 11 games, right? And then whatever happened last year, you know. But I think that they're back. They're stronger than ever. They have a gritty team, just like you said. And I feel like it's their division to lose. And they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs, you know. I like that team. And if Baltimore and Cleveland end up, you know, battling at some point in the postseason, that's what I can see. It's going to be really good baseball. It's going to be really, really good baseball. And I think that, you know, Cleveland is going somewhere. Like you said, you know, they're a young team. They're not household names, and they're trying to prove themselves. You know, they got rid of Lindor, and They were like, we're going to rebuild and we're going to start fresh. And, you know, those guys that they got for the Lindor from the Mets aren't has-beens either. You know what I'm saying? They got rid of Rosario, but they have Tejada there. And Tejada's in the force. You know, I saw something in that kid when he was playing for the Mets. And I truly believe that that team is going to make things happen and they're going to slide into the playoffs really easily this year. That's all I have to say about Cleveland. I think Cleveland is where it's at in that division. And then, you know, we're going to move on to the AL West, right? And Seattle was showing fight, but Houston had a horrible start. And they made it easy for the Mariners to, you know, handle their business and stay on top. But in June, Houston became a force and they got back to what they're, you know, they're doing. Are they cheating again? You know, I had to throw that out there, but these guys are good too, you know, and they turned it around, and I think that it's going to be a battle, but I can't really tell you, you know, who's going to win that division. It's kind of weird. It's like Seattle was tough, and I want to see them in there. You know, I like J-Rod, you know, but J-Rod had, you know, a couple of bad months. It's funny how, you know, these young guys, they forget, you know, mechanics or whatever it is, and, you know, they struggle. So you can kind of see how this, you know, one guy is carrying this team on his back, and then when he has a hard time, everything else falls apart, you know? Like, you need that chemistry, and you need, you know, a full, you know, squad to be able to take over and win these games, you know? You can't just rely on one guy. You know, like you said, the Yankees, perfect example, Juan Soto and Judge are the main, you know, culprits on that team. They're the guys that are going to really hurt you. But if you pitch around those guys and you deal with the rest of the lineup, then you have a really good shot at beating the Yankees. And the same with Seattle. I feel like, you know, I think that, you know, Houston is built a little better because they have those veterans and, you know, they have those tough outs. But I think that, you know, Texas doesn't really have a shot at this again. It's going to be really hard for Texas to, you know, fight right now, being that Houston is back in town and Seattle is trying to stay afloat. But what do you think about that?
Well, Texas, they need DeGrom and Scherzer to come back. Scherzer just came back recently. If they get those two guys back and they can add another starter in the trade deadline, they can get it. But the problem with Texas, the offense is kind of sputtered a little bit. Houston has gotten a little bit hot, which is good. The AL West, and I don't trust the Seattle Mariners. Yeah, they have the best pitchers, Logan Gilbert. He's been having a good year. He's 6-5 this year. And then as far as offense they go, they got Cal Raleigh and J-Rod. So they're and they got J.P. Crawford. So they're a tough team, but they don't have the offensive power. J-Rod is their power, their offense. So I don't see Seattle. I see Seattle blowing it. I could see Houston. I could see Houston, Seattle, and then Texas. That's how I think the division will finish out. And obviously the Angels last, but the Angels are a different story.
Yeah.
So that's Seattle's division to lose right now. But right now, it's their division to lose, and they're only, what, one game ahead of Houston? So they could easily lose that division. I wouldn't be surprised. And Texas is five games out. So Seattle needs starting help as well. They need a closer. It's funny, all these teams have the same issues. They all need a starting pitcher. They all need a closer. They all need bullpen help. It just, what makes it more harder now is that there's so many teams now in the contention for the playoffs that it's you have to really look at your you gotta really look at yourself, like, am I really a contender or should I just sell? That's what Baltimore did 2 years ago in 2022. They look like contenders, but they say, you know what, forget it, let's just sell. Even though, and they sold away Jorge Lopez, Mancini's, and some other guys, and they said, all right, right now we look good, but realistically we're probably not going to make it. And they were smart. They sold, even though we weren't against it, but they did. And I think some teams are going to have to make that decision. How realistic? Do we really have a chance? Are we just two pitches away, or are we a hitter away of making it? I don't know. So it's a tough decision for a lot of these
Yeah.
teams. But that's I think Houston's going to win that division. They're getting hot at the right time. You can never count them out. They're a tough team. I don't know if they're cheating or not. Who knows? But you can never put it past them. Once a cheater, always a cheater. It sucks, but
it's true. It's true. But you know what? Like you said, something really interesting. All right. So let's happen to say that the Grom comes back on a short run. Because now, you know, like I said, 68 games left. You know, what does that give you? Like maybe 9, 8 starts, you know, and Scherzer goes on a, you know, on a run. Then that can totally change the division around, right? And, you know, divisional games towards the end of the season, you know, those really count. And if Texas decides that, you know, the Grom is ready and Scherzer starts going on a serious run, they can totally change the division overnight. And I've said it before, if you get these guys, you know, doing the right thing at the right time, they can totally see themselves, you know, playing in the World Series, you know, because when you have Scherzer doing the right thing in the postseason, you have the Grom coming in for a short stint, you know, stealing all that money from them. It's the best thing the Mets ever did. You know, they didn't offer this guy money and he left, right? Because they were, you know, they already knew what was going to happen. It's been happening for years when he was wearing that uniform. But let's happen, he goes on a short stint, right? And at the perfect time and goes on a run with Scherzer, right? That's pretty dangerous. That's pretty dangerous, especially since, you know, the opposing team hasn't seen them, you know, because they haven't really played. So it's going to be really hard for those guys to adapt to the pitching. And I could totally see them going on a run. But, you know, that's if all the, you know, if everything lines up perfectly. But whatever, you know, talking about the AL West, not a very interesting, you know, division. Being that, you know, Houston was cheating all those years and nobody knew about it. And then, you know, this wild card team last year, you know, makes the World Series and takes it. I mean, don't get it twisted. You know, they have great managers and they have a great staff, right? But let's see what happens. You always remind me that the season is about the highs and lows, right? You're going to go on a bad streak and you're going to have to try to figure out how to get out of it. And then you're going to go on a really good run and you're going to have to try to contain it and keep it in there and keep it moving. Like the Mets right now, you know, we're going to move on to the National League East, right? And you have Philly, right? Philly's an interesting team. You know, they're getting older, but at the same time, they're getting better. All right, so in 2022, wild card situation. They make it all the way to the World Series, right? 2023, they make it all the way to the NLCS against Arizona. They lose, right? And you have to understand that this team has a lot of great players, right? They have amazing pitching. And the Phillies are even better this year than they were 2 years ago because they just shot right out the gate and they've been able to maintain it and keep it right there, even with all the injuries. Harper's been hurt. Trey Turner recently just came back. Schwarber's been hurt. Realmuto had his little stint on the IL. I almost called it the DL because we're old school, right? But this is a team that's showing that they have staying power, and they're definitely going to be in the postseason, and they're a serious threat. They have a lot of muscle. They hit the ball hard and have a lot of veteran presence. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, you would think Atlanta was the team to beat, but not this year. The Phillies have proven that every single year after they made the postseason through the wild card that they're tired of the wild card. And, you know, they were able to prevail after going in to the postseason as a wild card team and make it really far. All right, now this year, they're going to be sitting pretty. Not only that, they're the number one seed right now at the moment. You know, they have more games than the Dodgers. And the Dodgers spent a lot of money, or they will be spending a lot of money in the future due to the deferred contracts. But you have to understand that the Phillies have serious staying power. They're not moving. The division is theirs. That's cool. Atlanta had a lot of injuries. They lost their, you know, one of their greatest players, which is Acuna. They lost Strider. They have problems and they're struggling. But the Mets, you know, for some reason, they've just completely turned it around. And I think that they're a serious threat. And I understand that you feel like, you know, they should be selling and, you know, starting fresh, but they have a hot hand, Lasha. And I feel like if you shut them down for reasons like that, then you're not giving them a shot. And there's always going to be the question, what if, you know? I think they have what it takes to compete right now. I think that the pitching has really turned over a new leaf. Yes, they have bullpen woes, just like everybody else in the league. And like you said, we're in a situation right now where everybody thinks that they can make the postseason due to that third and second wild card. And it's a little disgusting. There's not going to be a lot of sellers in the, you know, at the trade deadline. And a lot of teams are going to have to deal with what they have at the moment. Do the Mets have what they, you know, need to make it? I think they do have a shot. You know, the rotation has been going at least 7 innings. And we're talking about every single one of them. I think Christian Scott is something to look at. I think he's going to get better as the season goes along. Quintana, Severino, Manea, they've all been, you know, consistent for a really long time now. And not only that, they're getting better as the season progresses. The hitting has been magical. All right. I feel like at points, you know, the manager is fighting something from above. I don't think he has true control of what's happening, because if he did, I know he sees what I see. And I feel like McNeil shouldn't be playing at all. I think that we can set up a pretty superior lineup where you're going to be able to produce at least 7 runs a game to be able to compete with a team like the Phillies. Because you have to understand that the Phillies are number one seed. And you have to understand that if the Mets enter the wild card in the position they are in now, they would have to fight through St. Louis, beat them. If the season ended today, they would have to fight through St. Louis, beat them. And St. Louis beat us up a lot this year. You know, they're a big team. They hit the ball hard. And, you know, we didn't look so good at that, you know, at that time in the season. But it's a different team now. So I feel like if we can get through that and then beat up on Atlanta, guess what? The number one seed is the Phillies. And the wild card always fights the first seed. And we're going to have to go through the 2 hardest teams in the division. But, you know, in a couple of days, in a week or so, because we have to, after the All-Star break, we have to fight Miami for 4 games, then the Yankees for 2, and then we come back home and we have to, you know, fight the Atlanta Braves. That's going to be pivotal for me. You know, I need to see the Mets perform really well against that team. There's something about Atlanta that the Mets always have a problem with, you know. I don't know what it is, but they get nervous. They make a lot of errors. They don't hit the ball. I know the pitching is great over there. You know, they're struggling right now, but I still believe that Atlanta is a really good team, and they could totally, you know, they could totally knock us out the box. But listen, this new Mets, you know, energy that's going around, I think that they definitely have a shot at doing something really special and magical this year. It's a tough road, though. But you know what? The Phillies did it 2 years in a row, so why can't the Mets do it? You know, it's like the complete opposite. I could kind of like see what's happening, and I kind of feel it. Even though I know you say sell, 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 start fresh next year, I have a really hard time doing that right now at the moment. And I'm pretty sure the management side of the, you know, of the game is having a really hard time doing that. You know, I feel like, you know, Lindor, ever since he started playing, you know, in the first slot in the lineup, he's completely changed. He's hitting from the left side really well. He's hitting from the right side. He's become a force. Nemo woke up ever since Alvarez came back from his injury. He's been doing really well. And he knows how to catch that rotation, you know. And I've heard it from the pitchers themselves, you know, in interviews and, you know, articles about how much they respect Alvarez and what he does for the rotation. You know, the only 2 players that I have a problem with right now at the moment are Alonso and I don't have a problem getting rid of him right now. You know, we can get DJ Stewart to play first, and we can develop him as a first baseman. And obviously, you know, McNeil's owed so much money that they don't want to sit him down for Iglesias and have DJ Stewart on right. But, you know, you have to play the hot hand. My dad always says that. It's like, if you're not hitting, you're not producing, if you have somebody on the bench that, you know, comes up to the plate every time and he succeeds, then that's the hot hand, and that's what you should be playing. But they're trying to figure out what McNeil's all about this year. You know, what a great, you know, player and hitter 2 years ago winning the batting title, right? But now he's like the complete opposite of that. He can't figure it out. But I feel like it's, you know, the Phillies are going to win the division. I think that the Mets have a shot at getting the first wild card, which belongs to Atlanta right now at the moment. But we'll see when we play them in the next week or so. And if we can show them who's boss, you know, we're not too far behind Atlanta. We're like 4 games behind Atlanta at this moment. So if we play a really good series, it's a 4-game series, I think we have a shot at taking over that first, you know, that first wild card, which gives us a bye week. And, you know, which isn't good either. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had this problem with the Mets now, right? Like, we're doing so well, and then the All-Star break came. Now, are we going to be able to, you know, stay on the path, or are we going to fall apart again? You know, like, it's a seesaw with the Mets every year. And I know you know it better than anybody else because, you know, you deal with me and you really study baseball. So you feel like they're going to end up falling apart. I know that's how you feel, but I feel like we have a shot this year and I see something different. I don't know. But what are your thoughts, brother?
Yeah, I think it's tough because part of me was saying sell, sell, sell. But I don't know if with the way the Mets are playing now, it's just just coincidence all of a sudden. Or is it just that, is this the way they're playing right now? Is this who they really are? Or the team that they were in the beginning of the year, is that who they are? So it's hard to tell. But if this is who they are, then maybe you got to just stay on course. Say, all right, keep what I have. Take, you know, risk losing Lonzo and all these other guys and try to add. I think the Mets also need starting pitching. The other problem, they need McNeil to start playing more better, like the way Lindor has stepped up. If they can get McNeil playing well and Nimmo to continue doing what he's doing, Alvarez is doing good, and then Vientos continues to play where he does, then I'll be all right. They'll be okay. They do need starting pitching, in my opinion. Yeah, the guys they have so far are great, but are they enough to help you win a series in a wild card? Because the way it's looking right now, you're destined to be in a wild card series, which is not the end of the world because it's only 3 games. So you just need two of your guys to do well in that rotation. So if I don't know if they're going to get – you won't get Senga back this year, but
– I think so. I think he's wrapping up his, you know, his little – side sessions, and I think he'll be back before the year's over. I mean, I think we really need him. It'll be like, you know, I don't want to trade. I don't want to, unless we're getting rid of McNeil, nobody's going to take that contract. I think that Alonso needs to go, and right now at the moment, I'll take whatever we can get, you know. Obviously, we're going to need somebody to transition over at first if we do get rid of him. The rumor is Houston is, you know, super interested in Alonso, and I think he needs a change of pace. I think he needs to, you know, start fresh. I think he's struggling. I mean, we saw the home run derby last night. I mean, I saw most of it. You know, I was really interested in seeing what he was going to do, and he definitely, you know, pooped the bed, to say the least. You know, he was struggling up there. He looked nervous. He couldn't figure it out, and he didn't do well. But I think he's been struggling all year, but I feel like this team has what it takes. I believe that if we get Senga back, we're going to be even better. I mean, it's going to take him some time to transition back to the majors. But I think our starting rotation is pretty good and, you know, strong enough to succeed in a wild card situation. I think the way we're hitting, we're playing great defense, and we're electric right now. You know, I feel like we have a shot. We have a shot. You know, we started out late, so now we have to work with a wild card. We're not going to catch the Phillies. And I think we have a shot. I think we really, really have a shot. The bullpen has been horrible, but you know what? The bullpen needed a break because, you know, we've been working these guys day in, day out. And we've been playing long series. You know, we played against Washington and D.C., and I think three of those games went into extra innings. So you can see how that can deplete a bullpen. But I really think that they have a shot. I think that with the addition of bringing Buddo in, who was a starter and had, you know, signs of I'm a star early on in the season, and putting him in the bullpen can give us a long run in the bullpen. You know, he can stretch it because he's a starter. It's kind of like what we did with Lugo when he was around. He was a starter. We threw him in the bullpen, and he was able to give us, you know, what we needed there. And now he's a starter with KC, and he's doing so well, you know. So I think Buddo coming out of the bullpen is a really good move. I think that Nunez has been, you know, bright. And Diaz is trying to figure it out, you know. I think the more we win and putting him in those situations where it's like, you know, sink or swim, he's going to perform properly, you know. Like I said, you know, he was trying to get to where he was, and then, you know, the sticky substance got in the way, whatever it was. He said he didn't do anything wrong. He said that, you know, he's going to continue to set up and prepare the same exact way because he feels like there was nothing wrong. And that can be dangerous, you know, because we could lose him for another, you know, stint. But not having him through that stretch really hurt us because the bullpen, you know, was being used in a completely different way than we should. We were playing close games against Washington, and Washington's a tough out, you know. They're not ready this year, but they're showing signs of, you know, we're ready to compete in the next season, and they're going in the right direction, and they were able to rebuild really fast because when they traded Juan Soto, they got a lot of good stuff in return. But they're going to be, next year the division's going to be a lot harder to, you know, win because a lot of the teams are going to be good. I think Miami has, you know, they're a tough out as well, but it's going to take them a while. But Washington is almost ready. The Mets look like they're going in the right direction. The Phillies are the Phillies, and Atlanta will always be the toughest out in that division. So, you know, I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, like I said, Philadelphia's definitely going to win that division. Mets, they know what they got to do. I think they'll make the wild card if they continue playing the way they're doing. And then Atlanta, they're losing Acuña really hurt them a lot because he was the biggest offensive production. But Duvall's been doing all right for them. Ozuna's been their second best player. He's obviously an all-star. And then Jared Kelenic, former Met prospect, he's been doing pretty well for them. And then Travis d'Arnaud and Murphy have been sharing the plate now. Now that Murphy just came back from the IL, he was gone for the first 2 months of the season. And then Olson's been he's been pretty good. Riley's been pretty good for them, so that's good. Their problem is not offensively. Their problem is pitching staff. They lost their starter. They need pitching help. Their bullpen, Iglesias, is another one where you close your eyes and hold your breath when he comes in because he's not as dominant as he was when he was with the LA Angels last year or 2 years ago, whatever it was. And he's been struggling, so I don't know what they're going to do. But I would not be surprised if Atlanta blew the top seed in the wild card because St. Louis is right there, too. They're only a game ahead of the Mets in the wild card standings. So I don't know how good St. Louis is. I think the Mets are better than St. Louis. They should be able to surpass them. St. Louis might be one of those teams where they might say, yeah, right now we're a playoff contender, but you know what? Let's just sell. And their guy that everyone seems to want is the closer for the Cardinals. He's a hot commodity right now. So if I'm the Cardinals, I know I'm not going to make it, and I can get some decent prospects. Why not trade your closer and try to get somebody for the future? And I think it'll be Philadelphia Atlanta and the Mets. I think three teams from the NL East will make the wild card. The NL West, let's switch to the West now.
Yeah.
NL West, it's just a miles apart.
Before that, we're going to jump into the Central. The Central, we have Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, the Central. Yeah, I forgot about the Central. Milwaukee's been pretty good. Chicago's kind of on their heel. St. Louis is on their heel. Chicago's in talks of maybe getting rid of their starting pitcher, Tyone, and some other people. I don't know what it is with their offense. Swanson has not been the player that they're expected to get when they came over from Atlanta. Suzuki, that's their, I think, outfielder. He's been good, but he hasn't been amazing. They're like everybody else. They need starting pitching. They don't have it. They don't have a true close, I don't think. Milwaukee's good, man. I think that's Milwaukee's division to lose. They're just really good. They managed to plug in holes with the Corbin Burns trade. Ortiz has been a good addition for them, and their starting staff has been quite surprised. So that's, in my opinion, it'll be Milwaukee and St. Louis battling out for the division.
The thing about this division is that it's a very interesting division because they're all pretty close, all right? And it's always like that for some reason in that division. And you know what? To be honest with you, with so many games left, I think that it's anybody's division. Or especially when it comes to the Pirates and, you know, Paul Skeens pitching the way he has been. All right. They're at 48-48, right? They're at 500 right now, right? But Milwaukee has 55 wins and 42 losses. Anything can change in a matter of a week, you know? And St. Louis is 4.5 games out from that, you know, first slot in the division. So you can't count them out either. The Pirates are 6.5 out. But like I said, anything can happen. It depends on what's happening out there and who they're, you know, going up against in that week. And I feel like that division is up for grabs, you know, when it comes to those three teams, to be honest with you. Like, it can totally change. And it's going to go down to the wire. You know, Milwaukee's, you know, a big surprise. They lost their manager and they lost their GM. So, you know, and it's funny because they lost their GM to the Mets and they lost their manager to the Cubs. So you would say, wow, these guys aren't going to do so well this year, but they're still making it happen. You know, they have a really good record at home. They're 29-17. Away, they're one above 500. But, you know, they produce a lot of runs compared to the rest of the division. You know, Milwaukee has scored 466 runs. And then St. Louis is right behind them at 398, which is a big difference. You know, it's a huge difference. So I feel like, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers in the last 10, you know, they won 3 out of, you know, the last 10. St. Louis is at 500. They won 5 out of 10. And the Pirates have been pretty hot. They won their last 4 in a row. They won 7 out of the last 10. You know, like I said, it could be anybody's division at this point out of those three teams, you know. But we'll see what happens with that, right? And then, of course, the NL West. Oh, man. I hate talking about this division. It's like it makes me upset. But you know why, though. You know why. Right? So you have the Dodgers. The Dodgers are 56-41. You think that's good enough for them at the midway point? What do you think about that?
Yes, that's fine because the rest of the division is trash. San Diego, Arizona's kind of fell off the cliff. They're starting to get a little back together. But San Diego, they got a little winning streak going into the All-Star break, but they've been the disappointing team as well as the Arizona Diamondbacks. So LA is going to win that division. I think that's the only team that's going to come out of the West. At San Diego, I don't know what they don't have the – they have the pitching. They just don't perform, and they don't score runs. I know they lost Tatis for a while, but still, man, I just don't – that's a disappointing team. And the Diamondbacks, I know they got Jordan Montgomery this year, so I thought they would be good, but he's kind of been so-so for them. And I think last year maybe they just caught lightning in a bottle and they just got good in the second. They played well in the second half of Arizona last year, and that's what carried them all the way into the World Series. So maybe that'll happen again. Who knows? Corbin Carroll has been their best player. Ketel Marte is the other player that I like. But other than that, Arizona has been a disappointment. So the Dodgers are a team to be. I know you hate the Dodgers, but it's just they have a stacked lineup, but a stacked lineup doesn't guarantee you a World Series appearance or a win. You'll make the playoffs, but you know they run into a Philadelphia team. I think Philadelphia is the best, well-complete team in all of baseball. The best team in the NL at best. So they definitely want to finish first place in the whole league, because by finishing first place, they get home field advantage in the NL playoffs at least. So everything goes to Philadelphia, and Philadelphia is a tough place to play. So I think it's Philadelphia and then the Dodgers. They're the second best. Philadelphia, the Dodgers, and the Braves, or Milwaukee, I would say, would be ahead of Atlanta, in my opinion. So those are my top three teams in the NL.
Gotcha. I mean, listen, Arizona's not too far behind. You know, Arizona has a decent record considering, you know, that they're in the division with the Dodgers. You know, they're 49-48. They won above 500, right? But the Dodgers have 56 games, you know, 7 games. The Padres are 7 games as well, right? But these are the teams that you have to worry about in that wild card, you know. These are the teams that are fighting for a wild card. And it's funny because the majority of the teams in that NL West are constantly fighting for a wild card because they know they can't keep up with the Dodgers. And that's how it works, right? So San Diego, you know, a couple of years ago, they had a great team. They had a great squad. They had Soto there. They had great pitching. And it just didn't work out for them. I mean, they're always going to be little brother to the Dodgers, right? But I have a feeling that, you know, if San Diego and Arizona keep playing as well as they are right now, you have to understand that Arizona won 6 out of their last 10 prior to the break, right? And the Dodgers, they didn't do so well. They lost, you know, 7 out of the last 10. So I think that, you know, if things happen, you know, and the Dodgers keep failing, things might change in that division, but I don't see it happening this year. But I think that, you know, they just have the upper hand. They spent all that money. They have great players, and any one of those players can always pick that team up. You know, they have so many stars, so they have options. But I don't think the Dodgers have, you know, what it takes to beat the Phillies right now at the moment. I think the Phillies have a serious chemistry. They have a great veteran presence. You know, it's not like, you know, these guys are getting older, but they know how to work, you know, the pitches, and they hit the ball really hard, and they have a really serious 1-4. I'm impressed with the Phillies, and I think that, you know, in the National League playoff side, you're going to have to run through Philly to get to the World Series. And that's all the divisions right there. We spoke our piece, and, you know, this is how we feel. We feel like, you know, it's going to be a weird trade deadline. I feel like there's not going to be a lot of movement. So whatever problems these teams that are in the race have, they're going to continue to have these problems, you know, because there's not a lot to pick from. And it's because of the wild card, you know. A lot of teams, think they still have a shot at making the postseason, and they're not going to budge. So we're not going to see a lot of movement on the trade deadline. We're going to see these teams struggle and continue to struggle, and whatever it is they're struggling at, like the bullpens. A lot of the bullpens are struggling, you know, on a lot of teams. Like, you're having bullpen struggles, and so are we, right? So, and I think that those problems are going to continue to exist until the end of the season. I don't think that there's enough, you know, teams out there that think that they're going to be selling because they all feel like they have a shot this year. And it's interesting and it's weird because that's how it's looking. And then, you know, today's the All-Star game. But before we go into that, we're going to talk about the Home Run Derby last year, right? And Lash is going to enlighten us on what the new rules were And I'm going to tell you what I definitely didn't like about it. I can tell you right now, I started to watch it and I definitely turned it off. I wasn't impressed and it didn't keep my attention. But you can explain to the fans out there what changed. And I'm going to explain to you why I didn't like and why I didn't like the changes.
Yeah, so the Home Run Derby, you have eight contestants. They're no longer head-to-head. It's basically a top four advance. So whoever has the top four home runs in the first round advance into the semi-round. So the rules are you have 40 pitches or 3 minutes to hit as many home runs as you can. Whoever the top four advance, they would go on into the second round. In the second round, you only have, I think it's 40. It's still 3 minutes, 40 pitches minimum. So whatever comes first. And then those two guys. So in the first round, it's not head-to-head. But in the second round, and the semi-round, and the final round, it's head-to-head. So basically, one versus four, and then three versus two. So that's how they would face each other. And last night's winner, the finalist was Bobby Witt Jr., who I predicted to win versus Teoscar Hernandez. He's the first Dodger to win the thing for the LA Dodgers. The guys who we thought or would be make it there, the Pete Alonso's, he really struggled. The guy who he had thrown to him just kept on throwing balls outside the strike zone. You could tell Pete was frustrated, and he's like, whatever. But so in my opinion, I'm kind of glad he struggled because you don't want to burn his arm, his bat out, for some non-important home run derby because you need that bat power in the regular season. So I'm kind of glad that happened. Same thing with the Orioles, Gunnar Henderson. He didn't do that great, but I was kind of disappointed. I didn't like it. It was kind of boring in my opinion. Head-to-head makes it more exciting. Because the new format now, Alex Bohm was the first one to go. So he set the bar, which is 21, where now if it's head-to-head, it's great because if I'm Alonzo's facing Gunnar Henderson and Gunnar Henderson goes first and he hits 15 home runs, Alonzo only needs to get 16 and he's done. That's it.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to keep going and going and going until, what happens if what happens if Gunnar Henderson had hit, 40 home runs in that? How hard is it going to get to 40? It's going to be impossible. Exactly. It's just too much. It's not worth it. Yeah. So I think they need to go back to the old format. I understand they're trying to change it. I don't know what they were thinking. I understand they want to. I think the difference is just keep the time in there, but have it versus where you're versing somebody.
Yeah, it's more exciting that way. That was my problem. I love the head-to-head from the beginning. All right, because it makes it super exciting, and it's like these two guys are, sluggers, and they're battling each other to get into the next round. It makes it more exciting. I feel like there wasn't enough players in that home run derby. I would have loved to see Judge Soto in there. I would have loved to see a lot of big names in there, people that felt like they had a shot at winning it, and the head-to-head is always great, And that's what was missing for me. It's like, all right, so these eight guys are going to go up. They're going up solo. And then the top four proceed to the next round. I didn't like it that at all. It's better when you see like a Vladimir Guerrero against Alonso or a Soto versus Judge. That would have been great too to see, That's the kind of excitement that I was looking for. But these guys weren't even in it, But can you imagine having a battle between Judge and Soto? They're on the same team, but this is something different, right? And to see them, just go at it and the winner goes to the next round, that's exciting, Stuff like that. That's what I missed from the prior ones. But whatever. It is what it is, right? Like we said, today's the All-Star game. And right now at the moment, it's the bottom of the fourth, and it's 3-3 at this point, right? So the reason why I'm stating that is because, everybody doesn't really know what the rules are, right? So I remember, a while ago, the All-Star game actually meant something, right? Because the winner would get home field advantage in the World Series, right? But that rule was implemented in 2003, and they stopped doing it in 2017. So it ran from 2003 to 2016, and they took it away. And I think that was a really good idea because they actually gave the All-Star meaning, you know? But that's just my opinion. I mean, now it's like, whatever. It's a little different now, right? And I think that was needed, you know? I think that when they implemented that rule, it meant something to me. Because it's like, okay, so now I'm going to watch this because the winner of this is going to have home field advantage in the World Series. So you would think that a lot of these All-Stars on these teams are there for a reason, right? Because a lot of those All-Stars on these teams are teams that are actually, you know, high in the rankings and at the top of the divisions. So you would think that they would, you know, collectively get together and say, you know what, my team has a shot, your team has a shot. We're all here for a reason, and we want to beat these other guys because we want home field advantage in the World Series. That is great. But no. It, you know, they took it away from us, and now it's just an All-Star game. Whatever. What do you think, Lash?
Yeah, it's just a like all All-Star games, they don't mean anything. It's kind of boring. It's a fun thing to do. It's better that they have it in the middle of the season than like they do in football at the end of the season. I there's some things I would also change. I'd go back to where the players, instead of all being in one unison uniform, they all wear their team uniform. I think that was more exciting. You know, there's my guy on my team. There's Pete Alonso. Look. You know, there's Matt. You know, there's Matt Chapman, whatever his name is, on the Giants. Or, you know, oh, look, there's Paul Skeens. I know who Paul Skeens is because he's wearing his Pirates jersey. Things like that.
That's important. Yeah, I feel you on that one. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's you know, it's kind of become an offensive. It's no longer a pitching duel. They're high scoring games. Everyone just hits home runs, and no one really cares about, you know, shutting down pitching, things like. Now, obviously, they don't want these pitchers to go lights out because, one, it doesn't mean anything. Two, you jeopardize your team in the next half of the season. So. It's high scoring. It's all right, I think.
It's silly. Honestly, yeah.
I think all All-Star games are a waste of time. I would get rid of the in all leagues because it's pointless. Doesn't mean anything anymore. No one cares about being in an All-Star game. Everyone cares about either being in the playoffs and, you know, that's more trying to win a chip. That's more important. But, you know, baseball's trying to grow and all these sports are trying to make money and it makes millions of dollars. Especially for that city that's hosting the All-Star game. You know, those 3 days or 2 days, really. And, you know, there's sellout crowds, you know, for the Home Run Derby. Actually, 3 days because you got the Celebrity Game, the Home Run Derby, and the All-Star game. So it does help. Next year, the games will be, you know, Atlanta, which is kind of exciting. But I won't be going because it's too damn expensive.
Way expensive.
Yeah, it's like $1,000 starting rate.
You said something interesting, right? So you said... All right, so I know in the NFL, they play the game after the season is over, right? And that makes a lot of sense because, you know what? You go into these games, God forbid one of your pivotal pieces, you know, gets hurt, right? And now you lost them for nothing, right? And you're going to end up struggling. And like you said, they're not going to go lights out because there's nothing to really fight for, right? So what's the point, right? So maybe they should have the game at the end of the season. I mean, that would be really hard. I understand that because if they want to switch up stadiums, you know, some of the stadiums, you know, on the East Coast, they get really cold after the season is over. So it will be really hard for them to, you know, figure that situation out, right? And you want to give everybody in the league or the teams in the league a chance to actually host it. So I see why they do it in the middle. Right, or what they consider the middle, because it's really not the middle, but whatever, you know. And then the other rule, right, is like there are no extra innings. So if these guys end up tied after 9 innings, right, they pick 3 players from each team and they all get 3 pitches to hit, right? And whoever hits the most home runs collectively wins the game, which is kind of cool, you know. Imagine, I was talking to my dad about that the other day, right? And he was like, wow, that's interesting. Imagine if they played the regular games like that. Imagine, right? So you go to the bottom of the knife and it's still tied and your home team couldn't produce, right, that run to win the game. Then each team has to pick three players out of that team. And then they will go into like a little home run derby. You know how exciting that would be for the fans at a regular game? That would be crazy, right? All right. And the manager has to decide who he wants up there, you know, and they all get three pitches. You know, he has to pick three players and they all get three pitches. And whoever hits the most home runs wins the game. That's kind of cool. It's kind of exciting versus, you know, having a man on second, which doesn't exist in the playoffs anyway, but, you know, having a man on second with no outs and, you know, trying to get rid of the game as fast as possible. But imagine if you had that incorporated into the regular game during the season. I think that would be really cool. It would bring a serious excitement to the fan base, especially the guys that are sitting in the, you know, stands watching that. You don't think so? I mean, that's just my opinion, though, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's kind of like the way it is in soccer. So soccer, they have a similar format. So in soccer, after 90 minutes, you have two 15-minute periods, I guess, or whatever. And then if you don't score, then you have shootouts, but you have shots on the goalie, and you have five shots. Each team gets five shots, and then whoever scores the most goals wins that game in extras. In baseball, what I would do is I'd play two innings of extra innings with no runner on second. And after the 12th inning, then you go to the home run derby rules. Wow. And then, because that way it's pressure. And then as far as the home run derby for that team, you could pick your top three hitters and to see your top three home run hitters. And you go from there, and then you would get three pitches, I guess. Yeah, I don't know how that works.
You get three pitches each, right? So I guess if you don't swing at it,
you lose a pitch.
No, it doesn't count. It doesn't count. I'm saying they have to actually swing at three pitches.
Okay. Okay. So you can wait for a good pitch.
Yeah. You know. So
okay, that's not bad.
That would make it interesting, right? So and then tonight we had a. Mr. Paul Skeens, right? Rookie standout, you know, start the All-Star game. I mean, I can understand how important that was for him to be able to, you know, get there. He's had an amazing season, right? He's 22 years old, right? And he's 6-0 with a 1.90 ERA, right? And he's been electric in 11 starts in the big leagues. And Corbin Burns came up for the American League, and he's been amazing as well. You know, I know you know you like to follow your team, but, you know, this guy's shooting a 2.43 ERA right now, right? And he's had 19 starts for this team, right? And he was with the Brewers for 6 years, and he was able to transition and come over to, you know, to the Orioles. And he was a Cy Young winner in 2021, and he consistently strikes out over 200 batters every season. And this year, he already has 110. All right? And there's a lot of more games to go for him. And he's pitched 118 and two-thirds innings already. He's an innings eater. He's doing his job. And, you know, you feel like, you know, your team is struggling and, you know, they've had a lot of problems with the rotation. But when you guys make the postseason, he's your man. He's your man. You need that kind of guy in there. You know? And this All-Star, like I said, you know, this year especially, I'm not, you know, a big fan of it because my team is hot and I feel like this is going to take away from, you know, their energy and what they're trying to do right now. You know, we've had a lot of, you know, big names in this All-Star, you know, game. And you know, I have something important to say about what happened this year, right? So Trey Turner, right? He made the team. Not only did he make the team, he was a starter, right? And he pitched for the Phillies. He was gone for a really long time this season. And he just recently came back and he made the All-Star team. All right. A lot of players on my team, I feel like, you know, they had a shot at making this team and they frowned upon them. You know, I understand Lindor had a tough, you know, beginning. Nimmo has always been consistent. He was always there and he got frowned upon. I think that Nimmo is one of the players on my team that, you know, he's an unsung hero. And I feel like he should have got a shot to perform in the All-Star game. But, like, at the same time, you know, you want the recognition, but at the same time, I don't want my guy getting hurt out there playing a game that means nothing to nobody. You know, listen, all right, if you show up to the game and you have the money to spend on that and you're there for all 3 days and you get to see a collection of stars all in one room, yeah, granted, it's amazing, it's exciting, but let's be honest, who cares? I want to win a championship and I don't want to see any of my, you know, big stars getting hurt in a silly game. That's just my opinion. What do you think, brother?
Yeah, no, Nimmo should have been, in my opinion, Nimmo should have been the only representative for the Mets. I think he's been the most consistent for the Mets. Trey Turner, he was having a good year, and then he got hurt. I don't know if you take him out because, hey, well, you were hurt, so you can't play now. Let's put somebody else. I don't know if that's fair or not. So I don't know how you solve that issue. But I definitely would have had Nimmo is my representative for the Mets, but or include him as well. But hey, it's what it is. I think he'll definitely make an All-Star. Lindor, yeah, he's had a good last month, but he just started getting hot. And he said it best. He said, "Well, he's wanting to make it because I had a horrible beginning," and he's right, you know. And unfortunately, these guys get picked based on how they're doing. You know, they don't get picked based on, you know, having one good month. You know, there could have been the guys, you know, start off well and then they kind of fizzed off, you know, and they, because of that, they didn't make the All-Star game, you know. So I don't know how they decide who makes it, who doesn't, but Nimmo definitely would have been my go-to guy for the Mets. Lindor is great. I think the weather has helped him a lot. It takes longer to get cranking in New York because the weather takes forever to get warm. But now that it's hot, the balls are flying. He seems to be more patient at the plate. So that's helping him a lot. And when he gets on base, he's able to make noise by trying to steal bases and puts pressure on the opposing pitcher because now they got to worry about him stealing. So he's producing with the bat and on the field with base stealing. So that's good. But anyway, I'm going to quickly run through the American League All-Stars, and then I'll let you do the NL All-Stars. Is that cool with you?
Cool.
All right. So the AL All-Stars, catcher Rutschman from the Baltimore Orioles, first baseman Vladimir Guerrero from the Toronto Blue Jays, second baseman Marcus Semien of your Texas Rangers, third base is Jose Ramirez of the Cleveland Guardians, shortstop Gunnar Henderson of the Baltimore Orioles, outfielder Aaron Judge for the New York Yankees, outfielder Juan Soto for the New York Yankees, outfielder Stephen Kwan from the Cleveland Guardians, and the designated hitter for the American League is Yordan Alvarez of the Houston Astros. And like you said, Corbin Burns was the starter for the AL. What do you got for the NL?
For the NL, we have catching William Contreras from the Brewers, right? You have first baseman Bryce Harper for the Philadelphia Phillies. Then you have Ketel Marte from the Diamondbacks. You have Alec Bohm from the Phillies. Trey Turner, who I just finished griping about, for the Phillies. Christian Yelich for the Brewers. And then you have Jerickson Profar from San Diego. And Mr. Tatis Jr. from San Diego as well. And then Shohei Ohtani as the DH for the Dodgers. And you know, when you look at both squads, right, you can pretty much see what's happening. These are the postseason teams. You can see it already. We've all agreed on all of this, right? We have Baltimore, except for the Toronto Blue Jays, but everybody else is pretty much fighting and pretty close. And the Texas Rangers can probably make it happen if they, you know, they get things rolling in the right direction and their pitching staff comes back at the right time, you know. Then you have Baltimore, the Yankees, the Guardians, Houston, you know, like, it's all there. Like, you can kind of see it happening, right? You have the Brewers on the National League side, the Phillies, of course. Arizona's still there. I'm not counting those guys out. Right? And then San Diego's still fighting too. They've been fighting for a while now. They've been trying to stay afloat. And then, of course, the mighty Dodgers. But you can kind of see what's going on, you know? And then, you know, we had these, you know, the reserves. But we're not going to talk about the reserves, because if we're going to talk about the reserves, then we're going to talk about why a lot of the players on my team didn't make the reserves, you know? But it's okay. Listen. You know, I know everybody's counting the Mets out. Every time you read an article, it's like, the Mets don't count. They don't really exist. They're just having fun right now, but the Mets always fall apart. And that's how all the reporters play it. But we're coming to the end of the show, right? And we have the pitcher of the week, who, you know, that goes out to Mr. Paul Skeens, right? He went 7 innings. No hits, no earned runs, striking out 11 and 1 walk, beating Milwaukee 6-2. All right? That's pretty amazing. I just want to say that he continues to do the right thing. Pittsburgh is really close. When you have pitching like that, you know, a little move here and there during the offseason can totally change the dynamic of your team. And then all of a sudden, you're in a race. And the hit of the week goes out to Seattle's Kyle Raleigh, right? He went 3-for-5, 2 home runs, a double, and 4 RBIs, beating San Diego 8-3. Once again, two teams that are kind of like fighting to get into the postseason. Seattle's in first, and San Diego's fighting for that third wild card. The Pirates as well, you know, and Milwaukee's already in, you know, in first place in that division. So you can kind of see how things are shaping, you know. Now, of course, I have a question for you. And then after this, we'll be done with you guys. And, you know, we'll be back next week. And we're excited to see the season come back, because I want to see how this ends. I really do. We're so close. 2 months to go, and we're all going to know what the end all is. I know Baltimore's definitely going to be in that postseason. I know my man right here, Lasha, doesn't think so, but I know so. I want to know what's going to happen with my team, the Mets, but we will see. Now, the question is, who has won more All-Star games, the AL or the National League, and by how many games?
I want to say the National League. Mm. Oh, geez, I don't know the number because it's been so many games.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, I don't have a number. I don't know. Let's say 90 to 70 NL. I don't know.
Nah, it hasn't even been going on for that long. That's the interesting thing. And the AL has the better record by 3 games. So the AL won 47 games and the NL won 44 games. And there were 2 ties. I think one of them was due to weather. And then the other one, I can't remember. But I know one of those games, one of those ties, ended up with the fan base like going crazy and like tearing things up. But yeah, the AL has 47 and the NL has 44. I always thought that the AL had the better players. It's kind of weird. It's like in basketball, you know, like the West is always a little better than the East. It's kind of weird they have better players and whatever. And in baseball, the American League kind of like sort of has the better players. It's weird, you know? But yeah, 47-44 with 2 ties. And this is us coming to the end of the show. And we're going to see you very shortly, in a couple of days. And we'll be, you know, starting fresh on the second side of the season. Have a good night, guys. Peace, Lash.
Later, man.